The topic of this tape is how nutrition affects our attitudes, emotions, and behavior. Have you ever noticed that if you don't get a good night's sleep, often the world and your problems seem more negative? And when you feel really well, when you've slept well, that everything seems better. Well, this is a very crude example of how the functioning of our body can affect the way we think and the way we feel about our daily lives. And there are many, many ways, and on this tape we're going to explore some of the specifics of how the way the functioning of the body influences the way we think. Not only is this information useful to feel your best and to have optimum mental health and accomplish all that we'd like to accomplish, but it is also very important for some of our society's problems. Daily, we are assaulted on the news with talk of violence, drug addiction, even suicide, which in a recent AMA journal article was called a pandemic among young people. A pandemic, by the way, is worse than an epidemic. Hyperactivity in children, learning disorders, and one of the most common symptoms in doctors' offices today, depression, anxiety. Could it be that the way our body chemistry is, the way we are functioning inside, has something to do with these problems? And the answer is yes. In all the discussions on television and on the news, we rarely hear the question asked, why? Why are these problems more prevalent today? Well, it's a complex situation, but part of the answers lie with the situation in nutrition and diets and in body chemistry. Now, I'm going to go through some principles that we find important in this work, and then specific topics and research findings. Let's look at a few of these principles. One of the basic ones is that there is a profound connection between the body and the mind. Often, in medicine, you go to the doctor for your physical problems, you go to the psychiatrist or psychologist for your mental problems, and they are separated. But in fact, this isn't the case. In fact, the body and the brain work very closely. The brain is a chemical organ. It's going to be affected by our nutrition. And in fact, it works the other way as well, because the brain affects the body and our thoughts and emotions. We know this can influence our health. So in fact, there's a very strong connection between the mind and the body, much stronger, much closer than is commonly recognized. A second principle is that what we call biochemical stress. You know, everyone today talks about stress, and when we think about stress, we usually think of financial problems, family problems, excess traffic, too much noise, like was just in the background on this, someone starting their car up, and other stress. But there's another kind of stress, which is internal stress. It is the stress that we get from our body, from within. We call this, in this case, nutritional stress or biochemical stress. When the body is deficient in something, when we have toxic metals, when the blood sugar is not properly regulated, deficiencies of important and critical minerals and vitamins, these things cause stress. It is very much like a car, and the traffic may be a stress, but if the car isn't working right, if the engine's out of tune and you can only go 20 miles an hour and the car bucks and kicks, that puts a stress also. And that's the kind of stress I'm talking about. It's internal. It's the vehicle itself. So biochemical stress is going to be one of our topics here, because when you're under biochemical stress, you can't handle or cope with your daily external stress nearly as well. When the nutritional or biochemical stress is corrected and removed, then you find that you can suddenly handle much more stress in your life without damaging yourself or becoming upset or any other adverse symptoms. Another concept that's very important is that behavior can actually be a compensation for biochemical problems. I'll give you an example. We often think of, often people say, well, poor lifestyles lead to disease and exhaustion. But did you know that exhaustion and what we call burnout, which is very common and it has a specific meaning in nutrition, it's literally you have burned out certain elements in your body, those burnout can lead to negative lifestyles. For example, one patient came to me and said, she said, you know, I seem to do all right, but if I sit down and try to watch television or read a book, I just fall right asleep. And so I never sit down. I just keep going. Well, we find that there's a lot of people like that. There's a lot of people who are what you might call compulsive. Or you might say they're always active. They can't relax. They're uptight or tense. And you think, well, maybe that's just a personality problem. Well, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's like this woman who came to see me who said she's so tired, basically, that she doesn't want to stop because she'll just collapse. People take up habits like cigarette smoking, kind of keeps them awake. They start drinking soda pop. They may start taking drugs because these things keep you going. They also remove the bad feeling you have when you slow down and try to relax and you just find yourself exhausted. You just can't function. So in fact, a negative lifestyle or an unhealthful lifestyle can be the result of exhaustion and fatigue, not the cause. And so again, behavior can be a compensation for a physical problem, chemical problem. And the final concept that's very interesting is that it takes energy to feel feelings. A lot of people today are tired and exhausted. And then they wonder why they have emotional problems, why their emotions are repressed, or why they can't speak up. I had one young man come to me, and he complained of low energy. And when he spoke to me, he was sort of agitated, I could tell. And I didn't pay much attention to it. I put him on a nutrition program to build up his energy. Well, he called a few weeks later, said his energy seemed to be better. And then, a week later, he called me, and he said, you know what, I don't know what happened to me. I exploded at my roommate and I kicked him out. And he said, that's just unlike me. I don't do things like that. Well, it turned out that this roommate was not your greatest roommate. It was this fellow's house, and this roommate was putting his fist through the wall and doing a lot of things that weren't very nice. And this fella did not have the wherewithal or the energy to express his feelings, to really get it out and let him have it and get rid of him. And as his energy improved, he was able to express those feelings. He was able to come out with it, get it out, get it done with. That's an example of how it takes energy to feel feelings and to express feelings. Another woman once came to me, and she seemed kind of sad. I asked her, I said, do you get depressed? She said, no, I don't feel depressed. And I said, well, looking at your mineral test, because the way we've done a lot of this research is through tissue mineral testing, where we test the minerals in a person's hair, and the hair is a body tissue, and the tissue is the site of nutrition. And so we can tell a lot about nutrition from the test. And she had a pattern that's highly associated with depression. And I said, well, don't be surprised if as you start feeling better, you become depressed. Well, she thought that was kind of strange. But in fact, that's exactly what happened. A month later, she called me. She said, you know, I'm really depressed all of a sudden. Well, what happened was she really was depressed. But the body, as a defense mechanism, if you are too exhausted, it'll just shut off everything and you won't feel it. As you begin to get energy back, the body can deal with feelings. And that's exactly what happened to her. She suddenly was able to deal with them, so of course they came into her conscious mind. She went through her depression, and then it was gone. And of course, you know, that's how children are. Something happens to them, and they cry, and then in an hour or two, it's gone. It's over. And they're happy again. Now, adults don't always do that, and one of the reasons is because if their body chemistry is not functioning right, they don't have the energy to feel the feeling, to experience thoroughly, and to then go through it and be back to normal. So it does take energy, and it takes a good, healthy body chemistry to feel feelings and express them. Now, those are some interesting concepts on how the body chemistry relates to your emotions. I'll just repeat them briefly. One is that there is such a thing as biochemical stress or internal stress, and that the reason you may not be able to cope with your family and your job or anyone else or a relationship is because you're having stress from inside your body that's making your life difficult. And by the way, this takes a heavy toll on relationships today. I didn't mention that area, but it's very important. A second concept is that your behavior may be compensating for the fact that you don't feel well, and so your behavior is built around the fact that you're always tired or you're always nervous, and so you develop behavior patterns around that. A third concept is that there's a profound relationship between the mind and the body. That's sort of a general concept, far greater than we take for granted. And the fourth one is that it takes energy to feel feelings. It takes biochemical balance, good energy levels, to express our feelings, to feel our feelings, and be done with them. Very commonly, someone comes to me who, perhaps they've gotten a divorce a couple of years ago, or they lost a loved one. And they'll tell me, well, I worked that through. I went to a therapist, and so I'm okay. That's all taken care of. And then they call me about a month or two after we start a nutrition program, and they say, well, you know, I don't understand what's happening here. These feelings are coming up again, and I thought I dealt with them. Well, they did deal with them to the degree they were able to with their body chemistry out of balance. But balance the body chemistry and the body's capacity for dealing with emotions, fears, anger, all of them, is increased. And so feelings you didn't know you had are suddenly dealt with. They are brought to consciousness, and then they're through. So it's rather interesting how this connection is so tight. Well, with that as an introduction, let's talk about some of these imbalances in the body chemistry. What are they? One of the most common ones, and a lot of people experience this to some degree or other, is called low blood sugar, hypoglycemia. Now, in fact, the site of the low sugar is the cells. That's the really, that's the site that matters, because that's where the energy generation and so forth takes place. And low blood sugar especially affects the brain. And in the medical books, it says that the symptoms of low sugar are nervousness, irritability, confusion, extreme nervous tension. We know from research that violence is associated with low blood sugar episodes. For example, a man who murdered the mayor of San Francisco several years ago was let off after 5 years in prison on the Twinkie defense. Can you believe that? They said he was under the influence of sugar. Now, I can't imagine that as a grounds for being exonerated for murder, but that's what happened. Family violence, you know, family domestic violence is very, very common, and it often can happen when that blood sugar gets low, the brain starts starving, in simple terms. And it causes extreme nervousness, confusion, tension, and so forth. This is far more common than you might think. The symptoms, if you want to test yourself, are cravings for sugar, especially at certain times of the day or evening, irritability before meals. I once worked with a lady, and when noon came, she literally ran out the door. She just had to eat. That's a symptom that the sugar's getting low and people start feeling bad. Once I was examining a lady as a doctor, and she started shaking all over, and I said, "What's wrong?" She says, "I have to have a Pepsi." And that's another example of it. Other symptoms are reactions to sugar, strange reactions. You'll feel woozy or you'll get excited and then you'll fall asleep half an hour later. These are common symptoms of blood sugar imbalances. And so this can have a profound effect on behavior. In children, we notice it even more pronounced. Many mothers tell me they can tell when their child has been given any sugar at all because the parents are smart enough to keep their kids off of sugar. And by the way, that can include apple juice and fruit juice, unsweetened even, because it has too much sugar And children's metabolism, as a general rule, is far more sensitive to sugar fluctuations than adults. And when the sugar gets too low, or for that matter too high, the behavior changes dramatically, and it can be profound. Matter of fact, I gave a talk just last week, and I was talking about behavior problems, and this little boy raised his hand. He said, I was surprised because he was only about 9. He said, well, you know, I'm on Ritalin because I don't behave, and he says it doesn't work very well. And I said to him, well, do you eat soda pop? Do you drink soda pop? Oh, yeah, he says, I do. And I said, well, you know, that's why it doesn't work. You see, you cannot use a drug simply to correct behavior problems when you're upsetting the body chemistry with soda pop, which is very high in sugar, not to mention caffeine and chemicals, which we're about to discuss, and other things in there. So blood sugar imbalances are a tremendous source, and today they're a problem because we eat so many sugar-containing beverages. These are the soda pop and the donuts and the, oh, they put sugar in bread and peanut butter and candies, cookies, cakes, ice cream. It's just used to sell food. It's just added to food. We have a population addicted to sweet things. And drinking the NutraSweet and the others isn't necessarily the answer, because you continue the craving for sweets. You tend to continue that. Now, we find on the mineral testing that people who have this problem are usually deficient in nutrients, manganese, zinc, and chromium particularly. And that by correcting that and by changing their diet, this problem can be alleviated, and it can be alleviated quickly and easily. There are two kinds of diets, and we won't go into this too much in this talk, but certain people need to eat more protein, sometimes 5 or 6 times a day, and other people need to eat more fat in their diet. And one or the other will correct the hypoglycemic tendency. The next topic we're going to talk about is additives, chemicals in our food supply. Today we have about 3,000 of these, and a number of them are known to affect brain chemistry. Now, they call it an allergy or sensitivity, and the research was done, the first really good research that I've seen, by a Dr. Benjamin Feingold, a allergist from San Francisco, who found that fully 50% of children who were hyperactive or hyperkinetic would return to normal behavior when all the sugar, food colorings, preservatives, additives, color flavors, and something called salicylates, which are certain chemicals found in certain foods, were removed from their diet. Now, this was really groundbreaking research. It was published in the Journal of Pediatrics. It was challenged by other researchers, and I'm sure that the food companies that make children's cereals and so forth didn't like this very much. And they seemed to show that it wasn't the case. However, the studies were repeated in England, and they were done correctly and carefully, and it confirmed Dr. Feingold's research. This was done just 2 years ago, the repeat. And it turned out that the people who were trying to disprove it sort of rigged the experiments. They didn't do them quite right, and as a result, they didn't get the same results. And many, many mothers tell me that this is exactly true. It's not easy to keep the children on a diet free of sugar and additives, but when they do, the behavior is much better. And so chemical additives, apparently, what they're doing is they're causing an allergic reaction in the brain. We think of allergies as hay fever, runny nose, hives, things like this. But in fact, there can be a release of histamine, which is a chemical that causes allergic reactions, in the brain cells. And when this happens, bizarre behavior results, changes of all types. And in fact, you can have an allergy to anything, to any food or chemical substance. Just last week, I watched a program on television in which they talked about a young man who had been a mild-mannered young man his whole life, never got in trouble. He started working around in a pesticide company where he had to load concentrated pesticide and then dilute it with water to be used in spraying. And he noticed that it smelled bad, and he would have headaches and strange feelings. But within several months of beginning, he began to get violent, and his sister testified that he began to push her around and hit her. And then one day somebody made fun of him, and he lost his temper and he strangled the person to death. And they tried to get him off, showing that it was the pesticide, and they brought in expert witnesses proving that these chemicals cause changes in a chemical called acetylcholine, which is a neurotransmitter. And there was no question about it, that these chemicals alter brain function. And we are surrounded, unfortunately, with these chemicals, pesticides in particular, but food additives, there are 3,000 of them. They are all on a list called GRAS, generally regarded as safe. That's a fancy way of saying they're not really tested because it would be too expensive. Also, their effects are cumulative. Their effects are additive, meaning it's one thing if you just eat one of them, but what if your meal has 50? And that's not at all unusual, especially if you eat fast food. Often they cut corners, they put the chemicals in to make it taste good, look good, feel good. It just isn't the same. Also, that food that has the chemicals is usually deficient in nutrients, but we'll get to that in a minute. So food allergies are very important. NutraSweet, for example, here in Arizona, Dr. Monti at the Arizona State University has done a lot of research on this, and he's received thousands of letters from people saying that when they eat NutraSweet or drink it, it causes depression and even epileptic seizures. So here's another case where a food additive can affect behavior. I gave a talk at Arizona State University, and in a class of about 40 students, six told me, they raised their hands, when I asked if anyone had noticed changes when they stopped NutraSweet, and six of them said that yes, their depressions had gone away. And so there is a definite connection between additives for some people, not for everybody. So the whole question of food additives, my feeling is, you want to feel good? Skip the food additives. It's even better to eat a little real sugar than to live on NutraSweet and saccharin and the artificial substitutes. But skip the food additives, just like you want to skip the sugary foods. Now, another topic that is very important are the toxic metals. And in researching toxic metals, you'll find that all of them affect brain chemistry. I will run through them briefly. They are a problem. The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, in a 1979 report, said that that toxic metals are the second worst environmental problem in the United States. And it also, by the way, in the same report, in a review of 400 studies, showed that hair analysis could be used to detect these because they are not detected on blood tests, on routine blood tests. Your toxic metals are things like aluminum, cadmium, lead, mercury, copper in many cases today, nickel. So let's discuss a few of these. Lead is the one you hear the most about. And lead comes from lead water pipes, lead solder on pipes, paints, inks, exhaust fumes from cars living near highways. Although the lead has been removed from the fuel starting this year. And there are numerous other sources. Drinking water is one of the biggest from industrial pollution. Now, the effect of lead is that it interferes with calcium metabolism, and calcium is one of the nutrients we call the sedative minerals, one of the sedatives. As a result, lead poisoning, which affects children mainly, causes hyperactivity in children. It is definitely associated with that. It can also cause learning problems. It can cause birth problems in babies, low birth weights, mental retardation. And in adults, it's associated with violence. The man who shot up a McDonald's in San Ysidro, California, several years ago, they tested his hair and they found he was very high in lead and cadmium, two toxic metals. It is well known that lead can do this. And the way it does it is that it interferes with it replaces, literally, the sedative minerals, calcium in particular. So lead is a problem, and we hear in the newspaper that lead is affecting at least 500,000 children in the United States and probably a lot more than that. I find that many, many children have high lead levels, especially those with behavior problems. Another metal is cadmium. Cadmium comes from junk food, is considered number one, tap water, and cigarette smoke. Those are the main sources. It's a highly toxic metal. It's used in industry and in certain other places. Cadmium also replaces calcium in the body, but it also replaces another very important mineral, zinc. Zinc is another sedative and a mood stabilizer. And I'll tell you a little story about cadmium. A young man came to me who lives at the Arizona Boys Ranch. Now, this is a place for, it's like a reform school. This boy had been kicked out of several high schools. His driver told me he had a bad attitude. Well, he sat down in my office, and the first thing he said is, "Doc, my brain doesn't work." And I did the mineral test on him, and he came back with cadmium poisoning. Well, I put him on a nutrition program to remove the cadmium, because it can be done through nutrition, giving certain vitamins, minerals, checking out his diet. He came back about 6 months later. His driver told me that his attitude had turned around. He was now helpful and kind. And when I saw him, the first thing he said to me was, "My brain works now, Doc." And sure enough, on the retest mineral test, the cadmium was down. Another little boy who was about 8 and had a rough childhood. He had been molested and hurt quite badly. But he was a behavior problem, and they had tried everything. He was violent and disruptive and couldn't concentrate, was doing poorly in school, had to have tutors. He even pulled a knife on his mother. His mother was at wit's end what to do. They wanted to lock him up. They gave him a diagnosis of schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia. And his test came back very high in cadmium also, his mineral test. And it didn't take that long. It was within several months that the mother called me, and she was so happy that at first she was speechless. She said, "You know, I can't believe it. This boy actually acts sweet." And he has continued that way. I've followed him now for about 3 years, and his behavior is fine. Cadmium, by interfering with the sedative metals, minerals that are critical for health and mental health in particular, can cause severe behavior problems, behavior changes, delinquency, hyperactivity, violence, so forth. Now, in addition, we have mercury. The Mad Hatters of Alice in Wonderland were mercury poisoned. Mercury also affects brain chemistry, and in the Alice in Wonderland story, there really were people who made hats, and they rubbed mercury on felt in the process, and they got it on their hands, and they absorbed it. And they went a little nuts. And mercury is quite common. It comes from large fish, like tuna and swordfish. It comes from the fillings in our teeth, which are half mercury, the silver amalgam fillings. And it comes from tap water supplies because it's an industrial pollutant. So mercury is another one. Another toxic metal is aluminum. And aluminum is one of the biggest problems today. You all probably know where we're getting some aluminum from. Cookware. Aluminum cans. The soft cans, like the beer cans and the soda cans. Antiperspirants. You look on the label, it says aluminum or alum. It's much better to use an old-fashioned deodorant. And fourthly is the antacids. Rolaids, Maalox, Mylanta, Gaviscon, Riopan, Alka-Seltzer, buffered aspirin, so forth. These are things that are loaded with aluminum. Now there's more and more research showing that aluminum is connected with Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's disease, when I went to medical school, no one ever heard of it. I remember having to memorize it and thinking, what a waste of time. Just one of those things they're doing to test you to see if you read the whole book. Well, today it is the fourth most expensive disease in America, I believe. It is a very horrible disease. It's one that requires a tremendous amount of care. Maybe you folks know that what happens, people forget things. They forget where they live. They wander out of the house. People just wander off and they have to be picked up. And finally, people forget how to breathe and how to eat, and they die, and it's a horrible kind of situation. Now, they're finding that those people have higher levels of aluminum in their brain than they should. And it is affecting, I find, even younger people. they don't have the full-blown Alzheimer's disease, but they have memory problems and memory loss, concentration problems, confusion, so forth. And by the way, Alzheimer's patients get violent. That's another thing that's associated with Alzheimer's is a high level of violence, which is what we're seeing in our society today. And we're now saturated with these aluminum cans, the antiperspirants and the antacids and so forth. Aluminum is added to your tap water. Aluminum is put in a lot of foods, for example, salt, table salt. They add aluminum to it. Baking powders and others. Cheese, often, is preserved with these things. So aluminum is a problem, and in the 10 years that I've been involved, in the 10 years that I've been involved in mineral testing, the level of aluminum in the bodies of the average person have gone up dramatically. We used to not see that. Now it's common, and it's hardly possible to find someone who doesn't have it. So aluminum is a big concern and is no doubt contributing to certain behavior problems. Finally, a mineral, which is a necessary mineral, when it is in excess, which we're finding today, it is probably the largest cause of behavior problems, and that's copper. Again, you don't hear much about any of this. Anything that I'm telling you is not widely circulated in medical circles, although there's plenty of this in the literature. The medical literature has all this. Everything I'm telling you I've taken out of textbooks. But because routine blood tests don't show this, and because doctors are not trained to look for toxic metal poisoning, they simply don't find it. You can't find it if you're not looking for it. They have to do the mineral test, the hair mineral test, and most of them don't bother with this. Now, copper, the sources today are the copper water pipes. Matter of fact, there's a book that was written about the Roman Empire where they found that the Roman Empire may have fallen because they got lead water pipes. And lead, as we said, affects the low birth weight, affects mental function, behavior, and so forth. It causes sterility, too. Well, we have copper pipes for the last 30 years in America, and especially in those areas in the East Coast where you have acid rain, and even some of the West Coast. It can leach copper out of there and into your bodies. Vegetarian diets, the more vegetarian diets which people are turning to, tend to raise copper a little more. They're higher copper foods. In women who are most afflicted by this, we have the birth control pill and copper IUDs, copper intrauterine devices, which raise copper in the body. Stress raises copper of any kind. Also, exhaustion of the adrenal glands, which is very common today, low energy, causes copper buildup. Zinc deficiency causes copper buildup, and the soil in the United States today, in 32 of the 50 states, according to Dr. Carl Pfeiffer and others, is deficient in zinc, and this too will raise copper levels. And copper causes a lot of behavior problems, everything from spaciness to anxiety, depression, mood swings, and even psychosis, one form of schizophrenia. And it is extremely widespread. You can tell the symptoms of copper poisoning by watching women with PMS, premenstrual tension or premenstrual syndrome, because that is the same symptoms as copper toxicity. Before the menstrual period, copper levels rise along with estrogen. And the symptoms of premenstrual tension are the symptoms of copper toxicity, fatigue, depression, irritability, anxiety, and in some cases, violence. It has been recorded that among women, violence levels go way up before their period. There's no question about this. The famous researcher, Dr. Catherine Dalton in England, has testified in court to this effect, doing research. Now, what we find is that on over half of the mineral tests today, we find high copper levels. It depends on the area, because some communities have high copper in the water or other sources of copper. Here in Arizona, it's a copper state. We're called the copper state, although our water doesn't necessarily have it, but there's copper mining and other things. Now, copper is needed. It's a necessary mineral in the body, but when you get too much, what it does is it stimulates certain neurotransmitters called the biogenic amines, which are stimulatory neurotransmitters. And this is what causes these behavior problems. It also can cause insomnia, is another very common one. The mind tends to race. A person just can't relax, even though they're tired. And then the most common are spaciness, moodiness, nervousness. Weepiness is another one, by the way. Especially in women, they break out in tears. Excessive emotion, that would be a way to sum up the effects of copper. It accentuates emotion. And so this is a widespread, this is like an epidemic. That's what we see when we do these mineral tests. And there are articles in the medical literature, there are books about this, but it is largely overlooked by both the medical and the psychological profession, unfortunately. Okay, that's enough on toxic metals. Let's move on to the fourth thing. We've talked about food allergies, and we've talked about blood sugar imbalances, toxic metals. Now let's just talk about nutrient deficiencies. I've kind of led up to this because we talked about the fact that the soil is zinc deficient, for example. And we've talked about the fact that toxic metals interfere with sedatives like calcium and magnesium, and therefore can cause violence and irritability and anxiety. Well, it's true. Certain minerals are absolutely critical for mental health. And if you want to perform your best and be your best and be sharp, good memory, you must have these minerals and certain vitamins in adequate quantity. And most people do not. For one thing, the soil is deficient in the trace minerals, zinc, manganese, chromium, and others. Then, to add insult to injury, we eat refined food, white bread. Well, they take out all the minerals when they make white flour, white sugar, or white bread. These things are devoid of trace minerals. So you get a double trouble. And then you have soda pop, which has no minerals in it. And people are living on artificial food. It looks good, tastes good, but it doesn't have the nutrition. So that's the situation today. And then people wonder why their memory isn't good, why they have trouble getting up in the morning, why they get irritable too easily, why they can't handle stress, and so forth, or why they just don't feel good. Most people, you know, there's a whole generation today, I find, of people who have grown up not ever feeling well. They don't ever feel comfortable and happy in their body. And these people are always looking for something to make them feel good. A lot of them are attracted to drugs. They're attracted to a lot of addictive substances to try to forget their pain and maybe to feel good, even if it's only for a few hours. Now, I could spend a lot of time discussing individual nutrients. Zinc, for example, is actually considered one of the neurotransmitters today. It is so critical for the synthesis of proteins in the body. It's a particular enzyme, RNA transferase, that requires zinc. Other enzymes are magnesium dependent, but zinc dependent is very high. There are quite a few of them. And without that, the whole brain doesn't function right. The proper chemicals are not manufactured. Certain chemicals that shouldn't be there are not destroyed in time. They're not taken care of. And as a result, low zinc is highly associated with mood swings, anxiety, excessive emotions, copper poisoning, because zinc and copper are antagonists. When you get low in zinc, you tend to accumulate copper. And it's a very important one, very important today, very important deficiency. Calcium and magnesium, that's another one. Well, let me tell you a brief story about zinc first. A woman came to me who was labeled manic depressive. She had been this way for years. She had been on lithium, she had been on antidepressants, she had been on a lot of things. And she had pretty much accepted the whole thing. And I did a mineral test, she was low in zinc and other things, and we worked on her chemistry. And after a few months, she came in, she said, "You know, I finally am beginning to realize that I wasn't crazy all these years. I really thought I was." She no longer needed any medicine. Her moods were okay. She didn't get depressed. She didn't become manic and hyper. And she said, "You know, I see now it was just a chemical imbalance that was relatively easy to correct." So zinc is important. Another one is calcium and magnesium. One of my clients used to bring her little baby in. The baby was about 1.5, 2. The mother was breastfeeding this baby exclusively and wouldn't even consider giving the baby any vitamins or anything. But the baby was, I called him, the Holy Terror. Jason, the Holy Terror. Because this mother really couldn't control him. He would crawl away and he'd walk away and next thing you know, he'd pull all my books out of my shelves and tear everything apart. Just in 5 minutes. Finally, at about 2.5, I finally convinced the mother that let's do a mineral test on him and see what's going on because something's wrong. This child is just driving everybody nuts, including the parents. The child never wanted to go to sleep. Well, this child was very low in calcium and magnesium. That's what it came back. Now, you might say, well, how is that possible if the child's breastfeeding? Because this child needed more. There is a concept in nutrition called biochemical individuality. And certain people need 5 times, 10 times as much as others of certain nutrients. This is one reason some people like certain foods, and it is a very important reason why the minimum daily requirements are not adequate for everybody. They're just statistics, but they're not adequate. Well, this little boy was very low in all 3 sedative minerals, calcium, magnesium, and zinc. We call the sedatives. Calcium, by the way, raises the voltage at which your nerve cells fire. By doing that, it slows you down. When you're low in calcium, you're kind of hyper-irritable. And this child was definitely on his way to being one of those hyperactive type of children, would have done poorly in school, even though he was very bright, very bright. Well, I gave the mother a capsule that had calcium, magnesium, and zinc in it. It's an over-the-counter common health food store item. And I said, here, just open this thing up and put it in his food. Just mix it in with some avocado or some peanut butter or some milk, whatever he likes. Also, I told her to keep this child off of sugar because that makes it worse, and all the sweets. In 3 days, she called me and says, I can't believe it. This child goes to sleep when I ask him to. He takes a nap, and if he doesn't take a nap, I give him a little more of that stuff, and it calms him down. She says, I can't believe that I went for 2 years suffering this way with this child. Now, this is a typical story that I hear. That's not an isolated incident. It's very common. I don't see how parents even put up with these children. They're just terrors. And they can't help it. And yelling at the child won't help you. One mother came in and told me, she says, I know something's wrong. The child even tells me that he can't help it. He can't control himself. Recently, I saw on television there was a murderer who was the same way. He would be very violent and rape women and do things, and he would write on the, once he even wrote in lipstick on a mirror, he said, please catch me, I can't help myself. Well, that's how these children are, because if you're low in calcium and magnesium, you're going to be irritable. I don't care if you don't like it, I don't care if you go to church every Sunday and you pray about it. Your body needs those minerals. And if they're not there, a person is going to be hyper-irritable, nervous, high-strung, belligerent, often overly aggressive. Now, there are other minerals that speed people up, sodium, potassium, and when you don't have enough of these, people are depressed, they're lethargic, they're apathetic, they don't feel like doing anything, they're not motivated. And how often do we hear that? Well, I just don't feel like, you know, excelling at my work. One woman came to me, she says, I don't really like my job. She says, I also don't really like where I live. And you know, she said, I don't even like my boyfriend. And I said, well, why don't you do something about it? Well, she said, you know, it's too much work. Well, we did the mineral test, and she had very low levels of sodium and potassium in her body and very high levels of calcium and magnesium, which we said are the sedatives. She was literally walking around all day sedated. Her chemistry was out of balance. Her particular condition we call burnout, or adrenal exhaustion. The adrenals give you energy and stamina, the hormones they put out. And so I just put her on the nutrition program, and within a few months she came back, she was dressed all differently, her hair was different. And she said, you know, I have a new job, a new house, and I even have a new boyfriend. And I said, well, what happened? She says, well, I just got tired of it, and I went out and took care of it. Well, what really happened is that she got her energy back, and she changed her life. She got her chemistry balanced, and her body began to function the way it should. And so we find when certain elements are missing, manganese, for example, the energy goes down and the person becomes depressed, lethargic, apathetic, despairing in some cases. You know, the American Medical Association published recently an article where they said that suicide among young people is a pandemic, which means it's everywhere. And you wonder about this. Now, why would a young person who has everything to look forward to want to take their life? Now, some of it is obviously due to family problems, pressures, all the rest. But a lot of these teenagers, their parents usually bring them in, and we run a test, and their body chemistry is way off. They are highly copper toxic. They may be aluminum toxic. They're manganese and zinc deficient. Their energy is low. And they're not feeling well. One young lady who was extremely attractive, you'd think she could be a beauty queen, she said to me, "You know, I can't even get up in the morning. My alarm goes off 3-4 times. I just hit it and I just go back to sleep. That's how bad I feel." One mother told me, she says, "You know, my daughter isn't any good until noon. She just can't concentrate. She can't focus. You kind of have to shake her." And this is what's happening to our young people. A lot of it due to their diet, due to all this garbage that they eat. And it isn't that hard to turn this around. Put them on a better diet, take a few vitamins to get rid of their imbalances, because food alone, if it'll do it at all, because the food isn't that good today, it would take months and months and months, and you can do it a lot faster by just giving a little more of the nutrients that they need. And a lot of these people perk up and they lose their depressions and their irritability and also often their suicidal desires. They just don't have much to look forward to. Okay. Now, these are some of the areas where nutrition is so important for behavior. And there are ramifications in every area. For example, personal relationships. Divorce is rampant today. Child molesting and other family problems. You wonder, what's going on? Why is it? Why don't people tolerate each other and everything? Now, maybe it's just that divorce is too easy to get today, but I don't think so. What I find is a lot of people don't feel well. And when they don't feel well, a number of things happen. They don't feel loved. They start expecting things of a partner that the partner can't deliver. Because really what they want is help with their basic not feeling well. And they somehow think that being in love, getting married, having children, that this is going to solve it. But in fact, their problem is often a physical problem. Often they are in what we call burnout. And burnout does not mean that you're lying flat on your back. Burnout just means the energy system of the body is not working right. And the body is not producing energy, and it affects the brain, it affects everything. But they can also be high copper. They can have cadmium poisoning. They can be deficient. And their behavior will be skewed. So one of the problems is they demand too much. Another thing that happens is they're not tolerant. And of course, in any relationship, you have to have tolerance. They also don't have energy to cope, to handle another person. You need a certain amount of energy. Also, they're not in reality. Copper causes spaciness, detachment from reality. And people get strange ideas, strange thoughts. They can become paranoid. They can become scared. They can become very angry. And they're not really in control. And we find this so commonly. I've gone through this myself, and it was one of the reasons that I began doing this work, is to help myself. And most of this is not addressed by the psychiatrist. As I say, they usually will give you a drug, and it may control your symptoms, but it's not really curing the cause of the problem. It's not really getting at it. So you can see where relationships can break down. Also, when your energy is not good and you don't feel well, you often feel like withdrawing. And then your partner thinks you don't love them anymore. You're not interested in sex often, because often these metals will affect that function. A lot of things happen like this. And then the relationships fall apart, and it's very sad. Work performance, the same thing. People in burnout often work very hard, but you know, their performance, their actual output and productivity and quality of their work suffers because they're not really centered. They're not really doing their best. They're just kind of working on nervous energy, often trying to overcome their feeling of exhaustion and fatigue and depression. And so we have this on the job. And you know what? It can happen to anybody. It does not have to be an executive. It can be the janitor. It can be anyone at all. It can be a housewife whose work is working at home. It can be anyone at all, any kind of job, physical labor or mental labor. And it's affecting business tremendously in this country. It's not that hard often to correct. And of course, many companies are starting wellness programs, but most of them don't go this deep with it. They just tell you to eat a good diet or a little bit. Maybe they tell you to cut down on cholesterol. And they tell you to exercise, which is a good start, but it isn't enough. Because copper toxicity and aluminum poisoning, you can't just eat a good diet and expect this to go away. You have to take the nutrients that get rid of these toxic metals. For example, vitamin C is helpful, and zinc gets rid of cadmium, and calcium gets rid of lead. And we do a few of these things to get rid of these poisons. And a lot of people still are eating chemical additives and soda pop and so forth. So it affects work performance, it affects work quality, and it affects relationships on the job. People get irritable, hostile, or they withdraw and they don't communicate. Every area of our lives is affected. Certainly the family and the children are affected. Parents today, you know, you can blame parents. You say, well, these parents today, they don't care. They let their kids run around. What I find is a lot of the parents do care, but they don't have the energy. They do not feel well. And they come home from work, they don't want to handle the child. They can't handle them. One example was a woman who came to me, and her only complaint was depression. And as she talked, she said she was taking a prenatal vitamin. She had had her baby about 2 years, maybe a year ago. And the doctor said, well, just stay on your prenatal vitamin. That's okay. Well, I asked her which one it was, and I looked it up in the book, and it had a lot of copper in it. And that was a red flag. And I said, it had 3 milligrams of copper, which is too much for most people, if you're copper toxic especially. And I said, I think you should stop that immediately while we run this mineral test and come back in a week and we'll see what we find. She came back a week later with her husband. And her husband, who is a dentist in Phoenix, said to me, Doc, you better write this one up. I said, well, tell me what's going on. And she proceeded to tell me that she had been beating up her baby. She had been unable to cope when this baby would cry, and she would just get desperate and hit the baby. And she said when she stopped that multivitamin, that prenatal with all that copper in it, for the first time she was able to be a good mother. And this is what's happening with our children today. Parents are out of control. They don't feel well. They're irritable. And they end up hurting their children. Then the children turn to drugs and other things because they feel unloved, and the cycle goes on. So every area of our life, the school children, I will mention the New York City school system because this is a very interesting experiment. In 1979, the test scores in the New York City schools were declining. They were below national average, and New York City spends a lot of money on their schools. And they were proud of their system. It's the largest district in the country, 800,000 children. And what they did is they hired a consultant from California, Dr. Alex Schoss, who specializes. He's a former probation officer, and he works with diet and crime and other things. And he supervised the changing over of the diet in the school breakfast and lunch program. He got rid of all the sugar, all the additives, all the preservatives, all the colors, the flavors, and other chemicals. And in 4 years, by 1983, the test scores had risen 15 percentage points to above national average, and no other changes were made in the education. Also, they had controls on this study. Matter of fact, they published a whole other paper in the Journal of Biosocial Research, where this was published in 1986, questioning their whole study and saying, well, maybe there was something else that accounted for this. Maybe it wasn't the diet. And they proceeded to work on other variables. And they ruled them out because there were certain schools that didn't have lunch programs. And those schools served as controls. There were some schools that only had half the kids eating the lunch program. And there were some schools that had all the kids eating the program. And they could compare the changes in the test scores before and after. They found that where before a child who ate school food did worse in school, when they put the good food, which by the way cost less than the junk food they were serving, the child who ate more good food actually did better. So they've shown that academic performance, learning ability, concentration ability, improves when the diet is improved. So as you can see, there are many ramifications and many areas, and the purpose of this talk is to introduce you, whet your appetite, and maybe you'll put pressure on congressmen, school boards, psychiatrists, psychologists, and everyone else that let's look at this. Let's take a look at this. And at very least, you can work on your own family, your friends, your own life, and reap the benefits of better mental health, better performance, and better lives. Well, this concludes the talk on how nutrition affects emotions and behavior.